What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is September 9th, 2025. As you're watching this, we're recording this yesterday, Monday, September 8th, at 1 p.m. on the left coast. That's where we're at in time and space as we project this out across the Skew universe for your enjoyment. It is Weekly Skews. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing there, Mark?
Good, man. A bunch of Supreme Court decisions came down today. One, Donald Trump's a dictator. Two, ICE is now mandatory for ICE to be racist. And also, it's not illegal for ICE to beat the shit out of you, even if you're a citizen. But don't, because you can sue for violating your Fourth Amendment rights, although in a separate decision, they've ruled that you cannot sue ICE for violating your Fourth Amendment rights. So literally, you have no rights, everybody. So yeah, fun day. I wanted to vent real quick about COVID vaccines because I tried to get one, a booster, the other day. I think I texted you guys about it. Have you tried to get one this year?
I have not. Just out of like me, I just put things off, like everything, you know. So I've been meaning to get a haircut for like 4 weeks and just haven't. So it's that type of thing.
So we go to a drugstore. Let's call it Grawlweens. My wife made a point for us to get our COVID and flu vaccines like we do every year. We go, and the guy starts asking us questions about what our pre-existing conditions and whatnot. And we're like, well, we both have elderly mothers. You know, my wife's mom's in like a facility. I've got a 90-year-old grandma. My mom's beat cancer, you know, more times than the Vols have ever beat Alabama. Sorry. Shots fired.
Unnecessary, but okay.
And I didn't realize later the guy was trying to coach us through what lies to tell. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Because I didn't think I would have to fucking lie. Then he goes and gets the supervisor and comes over and she's like, well, they changed the guidance. I'm like, I'm aware. And she goes like, so we need to save the vaccines for all the people over 65. And I hate being lied to. Like when someone lies to your face about something you both know isn't true, they're calling you a fucking idiot.
Right. But couldn't she just say like, we can't give you one based on your responses in keeping with what the new guidance is from RFK and whoever else it comes from?
Right. Our bosses say we shouldn't give it to you because you haven't told the right lies because it'll fuck with our insurance. That have been like, okay, I got you. We all have bosses, right?
Right.
but I don't raise my voice at customer service people. I'm not that kind of guy. But like, I did like say some stuff along that you don't have to lie to me. But this isn't March of 2021. The vaccines are not scarce. This is not true. Like, don't let them make you lie to me. It's not, don't do that to yourself was basically my fucking lecture I gave this lady. And then I go to storm off. My wife comes and grabs me. He's like, no, we still got to get our flu shot, dummy. I'm like, okay. But my wife was later able to procure one from another, let's call it VCS, because they didn't give a shit. They basically just like, she just walked by the counter and threw it into her arm. So anyway, just tell them you have one thing. My wife did some research. A history of smoking is a good enough reason to get like that checks the box. So just lie and say you had a cigarette before, or if you haven't, and you, which is true for me, I used to smoke. So
what's the point of them limiting it in that way to begin with? Like, you know, like making you have to check certain boxes to be able to get it, given that it isn't scarce and all that. It's like I'm sure they're like, well, it's not going to fucking kill a young person anyway, so they don't need it or whatever. But even if they don't need it, I mean, even putting aside, like you said, if they have elderly family members and stuff that they could spread it to or whatever, if they want it and are down to pay for it or whatever, or however all that works, then, you know, why prevent them from having it if you have enough to go around?
Yeah. I'm assuming they without the cover of CDC rules and say, but their lawyers are telling them not to let people do it because they'll fuck with their insurance. I'm assuming, because if somebody has somebody bad vaccine reactions do happen, they can get sued now. They didn't get that CDC guide. That's my fucking guess. But like after all the stuff we talked about last week, RFK, they had a big oversight hearing where RFK got yelled at by a bunch of senators, and he sat there talking about how he wants to make America healthy again while breathing into the goddamn microphone. Did you hear the clips of it, Trey?
No, I know that. Didn't someone tell him to chill it out because he was freaking people out or something?
He was like, he's like a aide whispered over his shoulder to back off the mic, and he was like, It sounded like a fucking like a dying Saint Bernard trying to get off by humping a beanbag chair into a fucking microphone. This guy's like, oh, look, I did my own research, Trey. I want the fucking shot.
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, right. If they do your own research, these things are bad. But if you say, well, I did my own research, and as an American, I would like to get it. It's weird for them to not allow that to happen. But also, didn't they in the hearings that he testified at, didn't they like not make him swear in or something like that?
Right, he would testify to it. Like they seem to have noticed.
Have they ever done? Is that a thing that they do sometimes? Or because I thought that was like a whole part of it, you know. I definitely thought you were supposed to be under oath if you're testifying before Congress.
But the subtext here is all these people are just trying to make money, right? And it's not really clear because like RFK Jr.'s job for like decades, his career, was ginning up lawsuits and referring to people lawsuits and getting a cut. And like people seem to have noticed that he's basically taking the plaintiff's side a lot of like in ginned up lawsuits. I'm assuming he'll get paid off at the back end. Like he came out and said Tylenol causes autism now. Pregnant women take it, which is like a fucking quack crank lawsuit. So like I thought maybe Republicans hadn't noticed that because some of them have said it out loud, the ones who are critical of him. But I think they've noticed that he's a fucking lying scumbag who's just profiteering. And that's why they didn't swear him in. You know what I'm saying? So Florida also announced they're going to do away with all school vaccine mandates. This is no matter what you slice, like how you slice polling on fucking vaccines, it's not school mandates are still popular overwhelmingly. So I don't know what their game is here. Like Florida's Surgeon General, a guy by the name of Joseph Ledopu, has been all over talking about, he was on the Sunday show saying they didn't even run the numbers and see how many kids they would kill because it's a matter of principle to not force people to get the vaccine, which fair enough, at least you're being fucking honest. But like, Ledopu, his wife is also like a spiritual healer. The Surgeon General of Florida, his wife's like a spiritual healing guru who makes money off fucking selling supplements. But of course she does. She posts about weather modifications. Her name is Brianna. Weather modifications, chemtrails, frequencies, and quote experiments to dim the sun. That, by the way, is
based to what end? Like
global warming? Like. So there's a British company has been experimenting with a kind of cloud seeding to make like clouds more reflective, like reflect sunlight back into space over the Pacific Ocean. But of course, any sort of like that sounds very deeply suspicious to them because you're putting stuff in the sky and the sky has got. But like, how have we gotten to a place where we're deeply suspicious of every technological advance that isn't related to personal electronics we all carry on us at all times? Those get by without a pass. But like anything to solve like a bigger problem is like if somebody invented a hot air balloon right now, anything related to the sky is fucking scary. So if somebody invented a hot air balloon, like the magosphere people would say it's because the government wants to let pedophiles look down into your backyard. That's basically where we're at right now. So yeah, I don't know.
Right. How do if you got kids and you won't feed them, like if the state finds out, they'll, take them from you because that's dangerous to them. But if you got kids and you won't, inoculate them against potentially deadly diseases, and then kids, it has happened, catch things and then die that could have been prevented. Like that does happen. How is that not? What makes that different in the eyes of these people? Like
First Amendment religious freedoms. Like there've been cases historically about like Christian Scientists and like, Jehovah's Witnesses don't want their kids to get blood transfusions. And like I realize they're walking a fine line with like I don't want the state forcing people to do religious beliefs either. I think when you let your kid die, it's a little bit different. But then again, I guess I'm a nanny state lib that way. But like I don't fucking know, man. But like we're in the far side of cartoon version of this where they're not going to let kids get vaccines. So yeah, they're basically forcing us all to become Christian Scientists. I don't think this stuff is going to go well for them. I think a lot of their supporters believe the lie. It's just a matter of choice, and they're going to go to try to get vaccines and not be able to get them and fucking be pissed. But we'll see, I guess.
All right. Well, let's see about the rest of this show. What do you say before we continue? Of course, though, I've got my announcements, as I do every week. If you want to see me live and in person on stage doing stand-up comedy, and I recommend it, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in upstate New York and Hartford, Connecticut this weekend. At the end of the month, every city in Ohio except for Cleveland. Still love you, Cleveland. I'm going to make that happen, too. And we got Virginia, Milwaukee, Madison, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Nashville, Tennessee at the end of the year with Corey and Drew. Well-read shows pre-Christmas like every year. Should be fun. Also at TreyCrowder.com, there's a link to my most recent special, Trash Daddy. Watch that if you haven't already. If you want a nice palate cleanser here and there, check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive Good Skews. That's on the podcast version of this show, the podcast feed for this very show. And if you want to support this show and get some more of it in your life, you can sign up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more. Or search for my name on Patreon. You'll find it either way. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. And we oftentimes do Q&A, SKU&A's we call them, over there. So check that out. Support the show. Get some more of it. Now, as for tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about us blowing up a fishing/drug boat, depending on who you ask, down there in the Caribbean and a bunch of other wild shit along the way. But first, we begin, of course, with the Daily Dumbass. Go ahead, Matt. Tonight's DD, Donald Trump for wearing a wire but not making sure it was waterproof before getting in a hot tub full of 17-year-olds. Hit it.
He's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to pick this stuff down.
That the audio in that clip's not great, but that's my Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, saying that Donald Trump was an undercover FBI agent trying to take down fucking Jeffrey Epstein, which is pure uncut QAnon from the Speaker of the House.
Right. Hasn't he just walked that back?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but nobody's going to see the walk back. Like Benny Johnson, MAGA influencer, like, this proves that Donald Trump was a good guy the whole time. It's like, bro, you guys don't even understand what the fuck you're saying, because how do you flip people into being informants?
Right. That, exactly. Yes. Right. That's the, for him to, even if that was even true, then that implies that they got to Trump. They had something on him and he rolled on it. They got him to like wear a wire or whatever and do, you know, to like turn informant to save his own ass, which implies that he was doing all the, you know, pedo stuff the first place. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, I think that that's all complete bullshit or whatever. But even if you believe that MAGA Mike was telling the truth, it's still a pretty bad look, and trying to spin it as he's a hero. Like, he was just sitting home and the FBI called upon him, you know, like there was like, there's only one man out there who can crack this case. and then the phone rings at Mar-a-Lago and he signs up for the good of the country and its country's children. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, we got to call the guy who runs Team Beauty Pageants to fucking take down Jeffrey Epstein. Like, this whole, like, so I want to talk about this first, because the House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed a bunch of documents from the Epstein estate, and they just got a hold of them today and started, the House Oversight Dems started releasing. The first thing they released was a picture of the birthday card that J.D. Vance said did not exist from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein. See, all this stuff, man, the timeline doesn't make sense. On its face, it doesn't make sense. Donald Trump became an FBI informant in 2007 after he kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago in 2005 for discovering he was a pedophile in 2001. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you really got to, like, retcon the idea. You got to create a whole fake backstory to explain the idea that Trump was a hero while he was also, like, the closest thing Jeffrey Epstein had to a best friend for, like, 25 fucking years. I mean, way before Trump was a political figure and anybody cared about any of this shit. Like, there's a book that came out in 1991. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but, like, a guy who worked at Trump's casino in Atlantic City wrote, like, a business memoir where he did not realize the explosive revelation he had, where Trump and Jeffrey Epstein tried to come on the floor of a casino with underage girls. When I say underage, one of them was Gabby Santino, the tennis phenom, who was like 19 years old at the time. So I'm not here alleging that they're 15 or whatever, but, like, too young to be on a casino floor. And a guy from the Gaming Commission was like, you can't do that. If you do that again, I will write him up. And the whole public will know this married 40-year-old billionaire is hanging out with teenage girls. And the guy put it in the book as like an amusing anecdote about management.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask if he put it in the book. It's like, that's how cool these two guys were, you know, since it was 1991 and all. And this is like a casino manager or whatever he was.
A casino manager in Atlantic City in 1991 is not going to have any problem with a married guy hanging out with a 19-year-old girl.
No.
It's like, that's not the problem here. The problem is
get
managing
him in
up your
hot water with the Gaming Commission or whatever, right?
Yes.
Like, that's what they have to worry about. Yeah.
Yeah, which is how you come up with this theory of the case they've all worked out that Trump was a white hat pedophile going undercover to stop the pedophile ring. So, like, it's basically like the idea is like the FBI handler was like, we have one last mission for you, Agent Trump. We need someone to get jacked off by a sophomore from the volleyball team. He's like reporting for duty.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to, but I'll do it for my country, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I don't understand why they thought this was going to go. I mean, they basically thought, like, because Congress went home for 5 weeks for summer recess and thought this would all die down, but they forgot that Thomas Massie's a fucking lunatic. God bless him. And that Ro Khanna has a thing that gets his name in the news. So they have something close to 218 votes. They'll need to force a discharge petition to release a bunch of records, which we'll get to what I think's in them in a little bit. I've talked about before, I think it's mostly financial shit. But first of all, I want to mention that James O'Keefe has done it again. Our man, the hero. Here's an undercover video he got from a woman wearing a wire of a guy named Joseph Schnitt, who's the acting deputy chief of the DOJ, who's she's filming on a Hinge date they had.
And those files do exist.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of pages of files. They'll redact every Republican or conservative person in those files. Leave all the liberal Democratic people in those files.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a Maxwell person.
Yeah. So we have a DOJ higher up who probably doesn't know anything, to be fair, but he's there saying they'll just redact all the Republicans from the Epstein files.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize that Tom Segura's brother worked up in the DOJ or whatever. But
he does like Tom Segura.
It's a lot like him. But there's a lot of guys that look like Tom Segura, to be fair. It's an archetype. It's a middle age. It's an aging white dude archetype for sure. But yeah, I like the James O'Keefe, right? That's Veritas.
He's right? Good Project Veritas.
Project Veritas, and he's done a lot of like shady ass shit. But it's like, but still, I don't think this footage is doctored or anything. Like this dude who really does have that job really did say all those things. Mm-hmm. But as you already alluded to, I could definitely buy that a guy with that, because the particular job that he has, I don't know what that means, his job duties are or what he actually does. So that guy is on a date with a chick and he's trying to impress her or whatever. So he just, he just talks like he knows everything that's going on, and he may not actually know anything. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not like rock solid or nothing, but it doesn't look good for sure.
It doesn't mean anything, except none of these people can keep their fucking mouth shut about anything, right? Like the fact this grift keeps working, like he's running the exact same scheme over and over again because DC's filled with the most boring people who can't like think about anything other than talking about themselves, like, and how important they are at work while they're on a fucking Hinge. But like one of the reasons I know it's real is so the DOJ put out a statement. If you got this screen grab, throw up there, Matt. So let me read from it. This is addressed to Acting Director Polak. I met a woman named Skyler. This is from Schnitt. I met a woman named Skyler on Hinge, a dating app, in July 2025, whose profile is no longer findable. We yada, yada, yada. We had two dates. She claimed to be an au pair in Georgetown. She gave no clues that she was a reporter recording our dates. He goes on and on. The fact that the DOJ put – you look at this motherfucking thing. They post a screen grab of a Notes app apology from a 30% battery iPhone that's in airplane mode that begins with, I met a woman named Skyler on Hinge.
Right. Yeah.
Well, is anyone else embarrassed?
Yeah, well, dude, at the same time that's happening, the White House is posting AI-generated images of Donald Trump as fucking Robert Duvall's character from Apocalypse Now, on the beach with as helicopters fly overhead and fucking talking about how, we're going to show Chicago what Department of War really means or something like that. And it says like Trump Apocalypse Now or something like that in the bottom left. And it's like, that's from the official White House account. So, this all tracks. But yes, it's like you get it's been almost 10 years now, man, of living in this reality. And it's you just get fucking numb to it eventually, but every single day something happens that in the late 90s or 2000s or Obama era for sure would have been like the most unfathomable shit you could have anyone could have ever proposed. Like something new every day happens, back then they had to make do with him just wearing a tan suit or saluting improperly or fucking whatever the fuck. But
did anybody forget until like just a couple years ago, it was considered improper for the president to even talk to the attorney general like at all?
Right.
Pam Bondi was sitting next to Trump at the fucking U.S. Open this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like, it's hard to, like, one of the reasons I'm fearful long term is like people under 35.
Right.
Don't know.
Don't know. That, right. How insane everything is, or the way things are like supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a word for that? Creeping something? I don't know. I feel like there's a word or a term, a sociological term for what's happening here. But it's just like the slow erosion of like respectability in a society or whatever. But we're definitely living in it.
You can sort of understand why Joe Biden just sort of tried to wish the norms back in place.
Right.
You know, but it turns out wishing is not really a strategy. But anyway, like another thing came out today related to all this stuff. New York Times had this very long piece. A lot of it's been out there before, but in general, putting it all together is pretty explosive. The headline's how J.P. Morgan enabled the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein. And the laundry list of shit here, the J.P. Morgan absolutely knew what Epstein was up to. One of the things he was doing was he would have them open bank accounts for women the bank had no contact with. Girls, I mean, and not even have their social security numbers. So Jeffrey Epstein was in control of all these young girls' finances. And they called him, they talked about how nice it was. He was putting $450,000 in this girl's account. They called him a sugar daddy in their fucking work emails. Mm-hmm. All right. So talk about stuff that should have been obvious. Like in 2003, Epstein withdrew more than $175,000 in cash from his accounts. $175,000 in cash. You're not supposed to be able to do that without the bank telling somebody, because there's not really anything you can do legal. You need $175,000 right. cash to do fucking legally.
Right.
What do you need to impulse buy that many Girl Scout cookies? And if you see them coming out the store, what the fuck are you doing? But that isn't like the worst of it. Like in the next couple of years, over 2004, 2005, he withdrew $1.7 million in cash. And J.P. Morgan did nothing. So when people talk about what's in the Epstein files, it's going to be embarrassing to people. I think it's going to be a lot of financial fucking shit that, like, I keep talking about this. Like, it's not going to be like Jamie Dimon. Okay. Here's one of my favorite exchanges in there. His Sherpa at JP Morgan was a guy named Jess Stanley. And, JP Morgan got a high level meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. When he got the email saying they secured the meeting with Netanyahu, Stanley forwarded the email to Epstein and said, thanks.
Wow. I mean, that feels pretty straightforward, or seems pretty straightforward. What else is that even supposed to mean, you know?
I don't know. Either Epstein set up the meeting, or Jeff Stanley is anti-Semitic. Maybe right. both. I don't fucking know. here we read here from the article. J.P. Morgan recognized those withdrawals need to be reported to federal regulators that monitor large cash transactions, but the bank failed to treat those withdrawals as an early warning system for itself. Indeed, J.P. Morgan's anti-laundering money laundering specialists subsequently acknowledged that such withdrawals should have alerted the bank to the possibility that Epstein was committing crimes, yet they did nothing. The bank also provided financial backing for Epstein to help Jean-Luc Brunel, who was a French modeling scout who had been the subject of media reports about drugging and raping women after starting a modeling agency called MC2, I guess MC Square maybe. Brunel later killed himself in prison after being arrested, by the way. So a lot of that going around. So Stanley, for his part, at that point in the early 2000s, was a top contender to one day succeed Jamie Dimon as chief executive of JP Morgan. So Epstein introduced Stanley to Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google and one of the world's richest men. Brin hired J.P. Morgan to help manage his immense fortune, which is he basically put $4 billion in J.P. Morgan after Epstein recommended J.P. Morgan to him, Brin. Stanley later said at a deposition that a parade of other Epstein referrals followed, including Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem, an Emirati billionaire. Man. So, yeah.
This dude, we have been knowing that or whatever, but it is wild that this guy that, like, most people didn't even know he was until, whatever, a decade ago or whenever he sort of became popularly aware of him. And now, obviously, everyone knows who he is. But the fact that he, like, knew literally everybody at all the highest levels of power around the globe, like, when two important, wealthy, powerful people wanted to like meet each other, but didn't already have a connection. They called this dude to set it up, you know. And then that guy ends up being, you know, the most prolific child sex trafficker or whatever that we've yet uncovered. Is like the whole thing is is wild as hell for sure. Like
he's also, but you also got to separate the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was also a huge liar and a huge bullshitter, right? So like, how much power did like even in all these emails to each other? They're like, does Jeffrey really know this guy, or is he fucking bullshitting us again? Right.
Right.
But of course, like that's what a good influence operation would do, is convince people you're more powerful than you are. So who the fuck knows anymore? But like the example of him failing, like Jeffrey Epstein basically promised Jeff Staley they could get Jamie Dimon appointed Obama's Treasury Secretary in 2008. So then the job would be available so Stanley could have it to do their own little coup d'etat. But Dimon did not get the job as a Secretary of the Treasury. So either he failed at it, or nobody wanted to be seen doing business with Jeffrey Epstein, because that's about the time he was getting, getting investigated for the charges that eventually ended him in prison. So, like, when I say the cover-up isn't just sex crimes, I imagine what the files will have in them is, like, that Epstein started an LLC so Elon could avoid paying sales taxes on slaves he bought in Yemen from that fucking sultan. So, anyway, the part that made me laugh is the end of that article. It says in 2019, late that year, the bank did something it should have been doing all along. It filed a report with federal regulators that retroactively flagged the suspicious some 4,700 Epstein transactions. So at one point in 2019, they realized they might be about to get in trouble and was like,
yeah,
we forgot to tell y'all about 4,700.
Hey, better late than never, right? You know.
Yeah.
At least we did the right thing in the end, and that's what counts.
What happened? See, that morning I forgot to have my coffee, and then my dog had to go to the vet, and I had a flat tire, and my wife got sick, and yeah, you know, it goes, 4,700.
4,700 more times, and next thing you know, you just lose, you lose track of things. Things fall through the cracks. All right.
So let's skip ahead to the boat stuff, because I think we're going to run out of time if we don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, if y'all missed this, United States Armed Services, not clear which branch, I'm guessing the Navy, a Navy drone, killed 11 guys on a fishing boat, I think it was 11, off the coast of Venezuela. There's a lot of guys in a very, they said it was a drug cartel smuggling operation. It's not really clear what Trump thought when he authorized it, or if he did, but there's a lot of guys in a very small boat. Like, when I saw it, I saw the video of it, and we're not going to show the video because I don't want to show a fucking snuff film on this show, whenever I'm going to avoid it. But, like, there wasn't much room for drugs. It doesn't seem like you'd send 11 guys on a boat that can only carry, like, a few more kilos of cocaine to do a drug run. I don't fucking know anything. As of this point, after reading up a bunch of stuff they're going to get to, I'm pretty confident it was carrying drugs. But I'm also confident it wasn't some high-level operation that needed to be met with, like, a force that would kill 11 guys. And to the degree that, like, we did this on purpose, like, when I say we did this on purpose, the degree that, like, it's a war crime, like, I'm not sure that we as a society are smart enough to even be judged that we have mens rea anymore to fucking commit war crimes, because we're so fucking stupid. But, like, we've been in the process of melding two failed American wars, the war on drugs and the war on terror, to one thing. And
because that's a good call, you know. Mm-hmm. Both of those went so well. Best way to turn that around is to combine them into one thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the amount of confidence you should have on this level of, like, I was, like, floored they released it. This is the kind of thing you hide.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know. They just think it's badass, you know? They're like, we smoked those motherfuckers. And didn't Hegseth literally say, we smoked a drug boat in a, like, in a super badass, like, fashion?
Yeah.
Like, they just, you know, they just think it's cool. It's all, like, strongman, you know, fake tough guy bullshit with them. So, and we all know that they have no shame, just as a general rule, so.
Yeah, and I'm not the first person to make this observation. My first thought was, like, the fucking movie Clear and Present Danger, based upon the Harrison Ford, I mean, the Tom Clancy novel, the plot of that involves the CIA, Harrison Ford's fellow CIA agents trying to murder him to prevent him from uncovering an operation that was way less evil than this.
Right, well, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, just the gradual degradation of societal morality and all that.
This is like this would have been a scandal. Like the entirety of the dirty war stuff in the South America in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like, we were covering up this shit.
Right.
As far as I'll put this in the notes as an example of, like, how low confidence you should have in the judgment of, like, the U.S. intelligence apparatus when it comes to drugs in South America. But it's also an example of, like, like how accountability used to work. 25 years ago in 2001, the CIA and the Peruvian Air Force shot down a plane suspected of smuggling narcotics. It wasn't, though. It was a family of Christian missionaries, including a U.S. citizen and her infant daughter, which who died. The husband and brother were also on the plane.
Well, they say, you know, Christianity is the narcotic of the masses or whatever. So, opium of the masses. So it still kind of counts, Mark, if you look at it.
Yeah, there you go. So you, if you listen to, there were congressional hearings about this. One plane of a couple people shot down by accident, and Republicans in the Senate were like, this is some bullshit. The CIA needs to fucking watch its ass. But here's the thing. You listen to the recordings. The CIA was trying to stop it. They were helping the Peruvian Air Force track this plane. And the CIA operator's like, the guy watching the plane's like, are you guys sure you should be doing this? I think we're about to fuck up. Oh, no, you should go help those people in the plane crash wreckage. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was mostly the Peruvian Air Force, but we still held the CIA accountable. And, like, I think we've reached this rant over and over again, but, like, people need to go to fucking jail.
Right.
Like, a lot of jail for war crimes, for crimes against America, for, like, disobeying orders, for following illegal orders. Like there needs to be – can't run a country this way, man.
No. I mean, even like with January 6th, we sent them to jail for a little bit, and then – but then they all got pardoned or whatever immediately. So, like, even that, what little accountability there was got undone, and you know –
Yeah, most of them are back in jail because they're fucking
scumbags. From other things. Yeah, right, because they're pieces of shit.
Just over the weekend, I saw two of them got rearrested. One for molesting a kid, another one for – he sicked his dog on four people, and he basically got arrested for attempted murder via dog. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, glad we – that was a guy who was famously photographed in the Camp Auschwitz sweatshirt. So, real clock-class dude. So, when they first blew up this boat, it's not even clear what they were claiming why they did it. Because at first, Marco Rubio, not knowing that Trump would be stupid and lie or be mistaken, he said that the boat was headed to Trinidad, which seems accurate. Then Trump said they were driving a fishing boat from Venezuela to the United States. The boat was a panga. The type of boat is called a panga. It has a range of about 100 miles and four outboard motors that get 5 to 7 miles a gallon. They were not driving that boat to America. So then we went back to, okay, they were going to Trinidad. The drugs were eventually going to head to the United States. May very well have been true, but the key to this, and this is very important, Trinidad is the opposite direction from Venezuela as the United States. We are north, they are southeast, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. As far as legal precedents go, forget other countries doing this to our boats. Like, if could Iran blow up an American boat carrying pork? Is that right? Could a future Democratic president label outsourcing and wage theft economic terrorism and shoot a Tomahawk missile at Jeff Bezos' yacht?
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think? You think they just, like, saw, with through satellites or whatever, just, like, saw this boat, like, decided, oh, that, you know, that, I don't know. Just feels like they just wanted to blow a boat up, you know?
Right.
You know.
Well, I think what's going on in that part of Latin America is important. I got some stuff for us to talk about that in the back end of the show. But before we get to that, I wanted to note that, like, there are leaks coming from inside the Pentagon. The Intercept has a source inside there from a quote, high-ranking Pentagon official who spoke on a condition of anonymity, who said the Trump administration paved the way for the attack by firing the top legal authorities, the Army and Air Force, earlier this year, and it was a criminal attack on civilians. Back when Trump fired all the JAGs, the people freaking out online were like, well, it's because he's going to, you know, use the military to, like, become a dictatorship and take over American cities, which he's sort of been kind of doing a half-assed version of that anyway. But, like, I kind of always thought it was just, like, be free to commit more war crimes and lawyers, you know, are fucking buzzkills.
Right.
And along those lines, one of the guys that Hegseth commissioned as a JAG is his former personal lawyer, a guy by the name of Timothy Perlator, whose prior claim to fame was successfully defending Eddie Gallagher, the Navy SEALs accused of first-degree murder for like executing surrendered fucking prisoners. Did you read the story last week about this failed SEAL raid in North Korea in 2019?
No.
So it's a long and very heart-pounding story. I definitely watched the movie and try to forget that it's American propaganda. But some SEALs were sent to basically plant a listening to bug Kim Jong-un's communications in 2019 before a high-level summit. They had to, like, basically ride one of those submarines you've seen in movies that where it doesn't keep water out. It's a motorized
thing. It's like a jet ski submarine. Like a submarine Vespa.
Yeah,
those are cool.
Super cool. Yeah, on the dude's rock scale, fucking badass shit. Right. They had to swim like 50 miles, launched from an actual real big submarine and drove go through ice, freezing cold waters to some island where they're going to plant the device and try to get out undetected. They did not get out undetected. Instead, they saw some guys on a boat who they panicked and assumed were military, and they'd been caught. They killed them, realized there were no uniforms, guns, or they were just fishermen out, I don't know, fishing, getting high or whatever. They're like, uh-oh. They fucking let the air out of their lungs and suck them into the ocean and beat a state of getaway. So the mission failed. But that coming out this week, and I'd say it was obviously the sources weren't this week, but somebody in JSOC and somebody in the Pentagon from this story we just talked about saying this was definitely a war crime, people are asking for fucking help. They don't want to be doing this shit. I don't know what special forces is being asked to do in South America right now, but someone's trying to be can you rein this motherfucker in?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, also, what happened after them was the nuclear talks with North Korea failed. I don't know whether North Korea figured out what they'd done or not, but anyway. And then now North Korea has nukes that can reach Hawaii. So all this is going very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what's going on in what's happening in North and South America and the Caribbean. But if anything else made things make more sense than just looking through the lens of our idiotic politics, which just basically resorts to any sort of criticism, this kind of operation goes to, oh, so you love drug dealers and overdoses?
Yeah, right. No, I know. Yeah.
I love drug dealers.
Yeah. Well, I've always felt I kind of think drugs should just be legal and regulated or whatever. But it's always a very sensitive subject. It's like you said.
This whole thing is try to connect this to the fentanyl epidemic. But if you want to put a huge dent in fentanyl overdoses, you would allow more pure cocaine in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Then it wouldn't be cut with fucking fent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And some MAGA people were like, you don't understand. JD was JD basically admitted to a war crime, basically saying, I don't care if you call them unarmed non-combatant civilians. Fuck them, basically, on Twitter. Put it in writing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, please, but we got to, I know America doesn't like to let its own politicians stand trial for war crimes, but we got to stop giving a fuck when it comes to this shit like this.
Well, people just don't. Right. Well, first of all, we've talked about before, there's just a general bloodlust for any kind of perceived criminality across all spectrums of this country's populace. But also, drug dealers and that in particular, it's fuck. I mean, I'm not saying it ain't fuck drug dealers, but it's also there's a market for it. People take all that it's just a larger cultural problem. But we also demonize the people that are on drugs instead of offering actual resources and compassion and going about it in any kind of really human way. It's just kind of get your shit together. If you're an addict and if you're helping facilitate it, go die in a fire in a ditch or whatever. That's about as far as people ever think through these things. And with JD, I talked about this before. I put this in my much, much less successful book. But my mom also being a pillbilly, when I was a teenager, I had that exact same attitude. I was because I had a lot of anger and shit, and I was I had no sympathy or patience with drug addicts or any of that stuff. I was fuck them all. They're all worthless. I don't give, I have no use for any of them, and I don't want to hear any excuses because I've had a rough life and I'm not a fucking strung out drug addict loser. Fucking get your shit together. That was how I always was when I was 19. Mm-hmm. But I'm 39 now. It's 29 years later, and I've long since softened
drugs
greatly on that. Right. Yeah. But, you know, I just along the way, I just realized a lot of different things, about my own mom. She doesn't want to be the way she is. She doesn't want to have, she's got other problems too. I've just, been more empathetic and just evolved, I feel like. And it just seems JD still apparently feels the same way about all that shit that I did when I was, you know, had a subscription to Maxim magazine and was rocking out to Theory of a Dead Man and shit like that.
Right.
With a chin strap beard fucking anyway.
Right. But there were a bunch of MAGA people trying to defend JD's stupid pro war crime statements. Like, you don't understand, because his mom almost OD'd in front of him a few times.
Right.
He has like a these are his therapy war crimes.
Right. Right? Yeah. Right. Well, I'm saying, like, yeah, even then it's not he should have moved past all that a long time ago, in my opinion, even trying to use that as an excuse, which, like you said, that is an excuse anyway, because that's not a good enough reason to commit war crimes. But yeah,
it's also like JD's mom was a nurse who stole pills from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
There was no cartel involved in the equation. If,
right.
If you start drone striking the Sackler family, then we'll fucking talk. Except the Trump Justice Department let the Sackler family off fucking easy.
Mm-hmm.
So what now?
Right.
Who's a drug dealer? See what I'm saying?
It was the same thing with my mom and in Salina, my hometown. There was it was 100% just big pharma and also, you know, pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that, like, there's been no public case made other than drone striking this boat, no congressional authorization given, like, what's going on in the background is Marines are practicing amphibious landings in Puerto Rico, and we move stealth fighters to be based in Puerto Rico, while Nicolas Maduro is telling everyone to expect a ground invasion in Venezuela. And to understand what's been going on in South America, in northern South America and the Caribbean, shipwrecks of Venezuelan migrants attempting to reach Trinidad and Tobago have become incredibly common. So it's one of the main places that people are fleeing to from Venezuela is Trinidad and Tobago. So, like, my first inclination was like, okay, well, these are legal migrants just trying to fucking get out of there. Except, like,
yeah.
That's definitely possible. It could have been a human smuggling operation.
Well, I was going to say, what's to stop them from, like, just blowing up a boat of migrants and then saying that it had a bunch of cocaine on it or whatever. Like, if
nothing.
This is totally fine and this, you know, this flies, something like this, then why couldn't they just do that in the future, you know?
And if they put the drugs to go to Trinidad and they put the drugs in another bigger ship and they come to the United States, you can interdict that boat off the coast of the United States. That's what the Coast Guard does all the fucking time without killing a bunch of people. You just go like, woo, pull over. Okay, we got your drugs. But their problem is they're taking the Coast Guard budget to do ICE shit because that's in the Department of Homeland Security, but they have an unlimited Pentagon budget. So now they're using the Pentagon to fucking blow up drug boats, right? So all these problems are downstream one another. It's like a fucking series of dominoes towards stupid shit. But Trinidad and Tobago is interesting. So their prime minister, a woman named Kamala Prasad Bissessar, praised the strike on the boat suspected of carrying drugs in the Southern Caribbean, said, quote, all traffickers should be killed violently. So I mentioned the migrant influx in Trinidad. You'd be shocked, Ray. They don't like migrants either.
Right. Yeah. Seems like pretty much nobody does.
Right. Basically, it's become a global thing. So the influx of Venezuelans seeking asylum, they've been Amnesty International has been criticizing Trinidad for basically just shipping too many back. They're claiming asylum. We're talking about 50 to 60,000 Venezuelans living in Trinidad. And that makes up like a total of like 4 or 5% of their entire population.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how it is disrupted. So proportionally, Trinidad actually has the most Venezuelan migrants of any country in the world. So I don't know what we're complaining, but I wanted to watch this news clip. You want to see if this sounds familiar.
Opposition leader Kamala Prasad Bissessa has issued a stern warning to Venezuelan migrant community in Trinidad and Tobago of aggressive action with the party formed next government. She says there has been a rise in violent crimes committed by illegal Venezuelan migrants.
So basically, it's a news story from last year when Prasad Bissessar basically ran on a MAGA, we got to get them all, kick them all out fucking platform in Trinidad and Tobago. So she obviously, like, I'm not even sure if you call that racist.
Right.
Consider it's like
xenophobia.
Yeah.
Right.
Nationalistic.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, again, also, I mean, I know it's huge in Europe too with, like Muslim refugees and migrants and stuff over there. It's fucking tied often to the rise of a lot of, you know,
right-wingism,
I mean, like, and shit.
And like Colombia's like they've had like a backlash against Venezuelan refugees, and I could be more forgiving of it because Trinidad does not have a lot of resources.
Right.
So like, but America does.
Mm-hmm.
We also like, America needs more people. I don't know Trinidad's situation, but like we're gonna have a decline in population probably this year for the first time in United States history. Have you seen that?
No, I've not, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So it's a combination of the birth rate and like the mass exodus, so like people self-deporting and us fucking just shipping them to like rape prisons. But it's like just sort of like darkly amused me that the governments, the global north and global south, can agree that the people of the global south should fucking die. So that lady, Prasad Bisesar, seems to be committed in her views about Venezuelans. But it did occur to me she could be managing egos because all these people have to kiss Trump's ass so he doesn't fucking attack them, you know? So let me quote Barbadian famed foreign minister Kerry Simmons here, saying that foreign ministers with CARICOM, a 15-member regional trade bloc, wrote to Rubio to ensure that future military operations within the Caribbean don't occur without prior notice or explanation. So to me, that's the ego managing. It's like, oh, yeah, we're cool with you blowing up that boat, but can you give
just
us a heads up next time?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just text us first, at least.
Colombian President Gustavo Petro, I think we talked about him before, but I think he'll hit for you, Trey. He gave a big speech to the UN a couple years ago where he said the cocaine should be legal. And he's like, what's that? What product has been more harmful to the world, cocaine or oil?
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
spitting. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not, you know, Colombia's a close ally of the United States, no matter who's in the government. But the fact that he was saying that, like, he's basically like, he basically compares cocaine to, like, no more harmful than whiskey, which I've never done coke. I tried it once, I'll be honest, but, like, I didn't like it.
But that's probably not, I mean, dude, you know, look, I like whiskey too, but it's also. Also could cause problems, you know. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's just, you know, whatever, everything in moderation, or just be, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, because, like, booze has fucked up, I'd say objectively, way more lives in America by a lot than cocaine. And I'm sure it's like, yeah, because it's legal, and you want to make cocaine legal? Well, no, I'm just saying, if booze is, you know, okay, then why not cocaine?
Yeah. Most parents don't openly snort cocaine at children's birthday parties,
right?
And then drive them kids.
I know, but it's just because of the way that I think if somehow you could go back in time and it had been cocaine this whole time and not booze, and the shoes were on the other foot, it would be the exact. They would. Like I think it's just because it's that, because of the fact that it's been such a cultural staple for so long that it's just accepted, but not because it's actually really any. Necessarily worse at the end of the day, potentially.
I mean, Petro's whole argument is about there's like a, you know, and there's a little bit of like the fact that we still call it, the government still calls it marijuana instead of hemp is because they chose a Spanish word for it to associate with dirty Mexicans back when they wanted to outlaw it in, you know, the early 1900s.
Huh.
Like there's definitely a racialized element to all this. Like in Petro's whole argument was like, if basically coca plants grew in Texas instead of fucking Colombia, cocaine would be legal, and just like a barley grew in.
Right,
you know, it's like if it was a cash crop for us instead of a country we want to dominate, the politics of it might be flipped. Is his point? And I'm not sure if he's 100% right, but he's not 100% wrong either. I don't think. So Petro made a comment on all this. He's right next door to Venezuela, and probably does not want the destabilization to come from a full U.S. invasion of Venezuela. I'm betting. He said it's possible to conduct maritime interdiction of drug shipments without attacking a vessel's occupants. But what would the president of Colombia know about the fucking drug trade?
Yeah.
He said Colombia typically captures them since those transporting the drugs, quote, are not the big drug traffickers, but rather very poor young people from the region.
Of course, yeah. Mules, yeah. Right? Or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I thought everybody fucking knew that.
The guy's in a little fucking fishing boat. This is the equivalent of like trying to like fight America's obesity epidemic by sniping the guy working the fryer later at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not doing anything. In fact, like reportedly of the three ships that left this small village in Venezuela we're talking about, they only blew up one of them. So two of them got through. So what the fuck did you even do?
Right.
Nothing. The context of all this has been a rise of ship piracy in eastern Venezuela as a strategy to, like, clear trafficking routes for cocaine and marijuana produced in Colombia on the way to the Caribbean, where it goes to, like, United States and Europe. So I'm not clear, like, between the cartels, the Venezuelan government, the American government, and whatever's going on with Trinidad and Tobago, we talk about, like whether trying to stop it, control it, or get in on it. It's always the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of context here is Venezuela has been in a border dispute with Guyana for the same reason. There's been a huge spike in global economic interest. And you'll never guess, Trey, if you got this video clip, man.
5% of the nation's still untouched wilderness. Guyana has earned international praise for its conservation commitment. But beneath that canopy, a new era is unfolding. Between 2022 and 2024, Guyana posted an average growth of about 47%. Stop GDP gains driven by a major oil discovery.
Found a bunch of oil there.
47% economic growth year over year in Guyana because they discovered oil. I think I might be moving to Guyana trade to work on a fucking oil rig when this all goes wrong. So, more context here. So, you got Colombia on the west of Venezuela. You got Trinidad to the east, and you got Guyana to kind of the southeast, okay? So Guyana's got a big oil boom going on. Guyana also just reelected a left-wing president named Irfan Ali, who wants to spend the money, the big windfall from this, on schools and hospitals. Exxon currently controls their oil contracts. We're cooking, babe. We're back to the 80s. This is just,
yeah,
this is,
right.
we got the Middle East oil reserves found in a drug-producing South American country just over the horizon. Just like all, we got all the major ingredients for fucking, we're definitely going to fucking invade.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the town the boat came from for a second. It's a town called San Juan Duarnare. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. This information is from a Spanish newspaper based in Madrid called El País, which is not a lot of free media in Venezuela, of course. So I'm trusting Spanish language media over American media for fairly obvious reasons. It was a small fishing village where people could rise in the middle of the night, to haul their boats to the shore and head out to the calm Caribbean Sea. Their followers had done the same, and so had their followers before them. More than 20 years ago, however, it became a transit point for drugs. Now it's like kind of like there a huge murder spike. There's a point where like 78 people were killed over the course of like 2 days in a war between two rival drug factions. When this boat was blown up, Maduro's government eventually told everyone that the video was AI generated.
When we blew this boat up,
yeah,
and the video came out, he told the people of Venezuela that the video was fake.
Yeah,
just to like not whatever show weakness or give us a win or something.
I mean, when it first came out, I did think it could be staged or AI or whatever. Like, because like anything's possible right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like the fact that Maduro was telling it to people in this town who knew the 11 guys who did not come home,
right?
And with the other two boats who saw them get blown up did come home, feels like fucking that. If you wonder like what it's like living in a government like we're sort of experiencing a version of it right now.
Right.
Just fucking lies to your face. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really you can do about it. And they don't care if you know that they're lying.
Yeah. But, Venezuelans are on TikTok. So like people were in the comments, the video on TikTok saying the attack was real and not AI generated because they knew the victims. Like, yeah, that's Paco and Alvarado. We've been boys since we were kids. Like, we used to fish together. And the people in the town are like, I said I was skeptical it was drugs, but the people in the town on TikTok, let me read a comment here. San Juan Duarnare in mourning. May those fathers who entered that world out of necessity so their families can live a better life rest in peace, reads one video. So they're saying it's drugs. So they said a Venezuelan newspaper did say that the speedboat carrying 11 men had a cargo of narcotics was headed to Trinidad. So they're saying it's drugs. But I don't fucking care. We don't give drug dealers the death penalty for a reason.
Right. And summarily, too, without any kind of like due process or anything, in off the coast of a different country and international waters and all that shit. Like, it's just
if you had interdicted and found a bunch of cocaine and then shot them, at least that would be some form of due process. Right. They didn't even do that.
Yeah.
And like I already mentioned that other two boats got through. It's not even clear how much drug they don't even know. They don't even know how they forget. Even if they're sure they're drugs on the boat, they don't even know how much they stopped. They didn't question the guys about how they came from. And I don't, how the fuck did they know there were drugs on the boat? That's like, there's some green berets outside of San Juan doing RA speaking restaurant Spanish, getting around fucking accusing people of being drug dealers and calling in drone strikes. That's the only like conclusion left. Like, where'd they get this information from? And you kind of do want to be really sure about this stuff, because even here, in the cold light of day, with drug labs and with fucking like you know, due process, we still fuck up royally. Here's a story from Oregon this week. Okay. The massive drug bust that wasn't, how 50 million, quote, fatal doses turned out to be mostly water. It was billed as an astronomical drug bust. Barrels of liquid heroin linked to the Sinaloa cartel, enough for 50 million fatal doses hidden in a U-Haul truck in suburban Tigard. One federal prosecutor called it a, quote, insane amount never before seen in Oregon. Police crime lab had tested the liquid to determine what type of drug was present in the barrel, seven barrels seized in the U-Haul truck, but it never did a qualitative analysis to see how strong it was. Then later, defense team paid for a test that showed it was 99.9% water. And we're about to send these guys away for life for hauling a U-Haul full of water. Well, I don't know if they thought it was heroin.
Yeah, right. That's what I was about to say. Like, what? You got just a U-Haul just filled with barrels of just plain water for... Yeah, so they got... Also, I didn't know that... I'm embarrassed to say I'm not well-versed with heroin, but it can just be water. Like, they're, like, confused as water. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was, like, a powder. I thought you needed a spoon, a flame. You know, I'm a little versed with heroin, I guess. But, like, I didn't know... But, you know, I didn't know that, like, a barrel of straight-up water could... be mistaken for heroin reasonably is what I'm saying. I thought the consistency and everything was pretty different, but you know, I'm no expert.
No idea, man. Don't know what to call a heroin expert, but yeah. So what happened apparently was the government relied on an unidentified source who claimed he had put 800 grams of heroin into the barrels. So the government used, like, somebody gave the government this information for either their own freedom or some cash or whatever to get a favor from a cop. And they got that favor. They got whatever they wanted. The cops arrest these guys, almost ruined their entire lives instead of just ruining a chunk of it. They ended up getting let go for time served. But, like, the idea, the maddening thing about, I guess the theme of today's show is hating when people lie to your face. The idea that we care deeply about winning the drug war always drives me fucking insane. I know I brought it up over and over again, but, like, I want to watch this video of Don Jr. from last week, if you got this, Matt, talking about how much he does not like cocaine.
Right.
Your friends. They're like, dude, there's no way you would have gotten away with that. I go, I know. Luckily, I don't snort cocaine. Like, it's not my thing.
I don't snort cocaine. That's the most cocaine behavior I've ever seen in my entire goddamn life.
That's not even the Donald Trump Jr. cocaine video that I thought you were going to show from last week. Like, I saw the one I saw may not be from last week. It might be older, but it's just a video of him getting ready for some interview or something. And he's just being real fidgety and twitchy. And he puts his hand in his pocket awkwardly and then pulls it out. And like, it's like, or just like rubs his gums with his finger after sticking his finger in his pocket. It's like, not a thing that people do, you know, for other reasons. But yeah, no, everybody.
I'm not gonna use name right here, although a lot of you guys will be able to figure it out. But a buddy of ours was texting us about being at a golf tournament in, you know, SEC country, and everyone younger than him was openly snorting cocaine on the fucking golf course. You want to guess who they probably voted for?
Right.
People being mad about Trump's about. Price is going up. Trump's voter base is going to be super pissed about all this cocaine going away.
Yeah. So, to be fair, they're probably all also Christians who think that, you know, premarital sex is a sin or whatever. Or not they think it, but, you know, would say that the Bible says that and a great many other things, too. So,
no, but premarital sex is bad as a sin for women to do.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's same, you know, it's just like cocaine is bad for, you know, lazy brown people to do, or black people, you know what I mean? I'm a good upstanding white person with a job. Like, I need my cocaine.
So yeah, I didn't even have time to get into this, but thoroughly, but I wanted to call up, there's a story from way back about a guy in Trump's orbit, a guy named Joseph Weichselbaum, who ran Trump's personal helicopter service. He got busted trafficking fucking coke in Ohio in the 80s, and Trump kept him employed. Trump wrote him a letter to get him a light sentence. The guy had a $7,000 a month in Mar-a-Lago, and Trump basically wrote him a letter in exchange for free helicopter flights. So the other way to say this was Trump was getting paid in fucking cocaine money. And then later, the guy got off super light after Trump put in a good word for him. And he only got 3 years. His buddy got 20, and he got an 18 months. And then he moved into Trump Tower after having bought a apartment in Trump Tower for $2.4 million. No one knows if money changed hands or where it came from. Donald Trump, famous hater of cocaine and people who move it. Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for watching, as always. And yeah, real quick, go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Come see me on the road. Watch Trash Daddy. Listen to Good Skews, Producer Matt's audio-only podcast on the podcast feed of this show. And consider signing up on Patreon, WeeklySkews.com/more, or just go on Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month. Get 2 full-length bonus episodes. Check it out. Either way, as long as you keep showing up on Skews Days, we will too. So we'll see you here about 7 days from now. That'll do it. Love you. Bye.
Skew. Meow.